Title of my message today is Jesus is Alive. And I know that if you're here this morning, you probably believe that. But many people don't believe that. They might look at Jesus as being like other men that came into the world and people followed them. They might say that he's a great prophet, a great man to emulate, that he was a very spiritual man. But Jesus was the Son of God. He is the Son of God. And he is alive. And he is alive in heaven at the right hand of the Father. Says he ever lives to make intercession for us. So, where we're going to pick up reading in Matthew, the 28th chapter, this is about the resurrection. We're celebrating today the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's what Easter is supposed to be all about, isn't it? The resurrection of Jesus Christ. He had been crucified. And you know, the apostles and followers, for the most part, all ran away. They were scared. We know that Peter ends up in the camp of the enemy, warming his hands at the fire. And they start questioning him, and he denies that he even knew the Lord. The only ones that stayed were the female disciples and John. And so they were witnesses of the crucifixion of Jesus. They were there. The other disciples, the other apostles had run away, but they were there. They were there to see the condition of Jesus. And Jesus, when he was crucified, you know, you see these pictures of Jesus on the cross, and there's a little puncture wound here, and there's a little puncture wound here, and there's puncture wounds through his feet, which that's not a good thing, but it really does an injustice to the beating and the pulverizing of Jesus' body. In the book of Psalm 22, and I realize we haven't read our text yet, but stay with me. In Psalm 22, 16 through 18, I believe these verses are prophetic about Jesus on the cross. And they were written a long time before Jesus was even born into the world. But Psalm 22, verse 16 says, "For dogs have surrounded me. The congregation of the wicked has enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. They look and stare at me." Jesus was whipped with a whip that would tear away flesh. He was beaten by the Roman soldiers. And all that he endured, the crown of thorns, all that he endured, those who stayed saw him on the cross. They saw the condition of his body. And it was no doubt a horrific sight. I believe that when it says that my bones, they look and stare at me, was simply that the flesh had been torn away so much so that he could see the bones of his body. But I want to get back to the positive, and that is Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. And we're going to read in Matthew 28, verses 1 through 7. "Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And indeed, he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them saying, "Rejoice." So they came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they shall see me." It says that they were bidden by the angel to come in and see the empty tomb. I don't think that the stone was rolled away in order to let Jesus out. I don't think he had any problem getting out. The stone was rolled away so the witnesses could come and see that the tomb was empty. Even though it had been sealed with seals and guards had been placed by to try in an attempt to thinking that maybe the disciples would come and steal his body. Pilate wanted guards to be put at the graveside, at the tomb. And in verse 6, it says, "He is not here, for he is risen." In part of our text here, I'm trying to find it. Oh, here it is. Verse 8. Searching for this, my eyes could not find it. So they went out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy. Now there's a couple of emotions that usually you don't combine. Fear and great joy. How happy they were to think that the Lord had risen from the dead. What great news. But no doubt what they saw, the angel and all that had happened, was in another way was very troubling, scary. This isn't the norm. And certainly Jesus wasn't the normal man. Jesus was the Son of God. And now he has risen from the dead. And the angels are inviting them to come in and look and see where he had lay. But now he's gone. He's not here, for he is risen. And notice that it was Mary and the other Mary who were there when Jesus' body was put into the tomb. They were there to see him be crucified, and all the horrible things that physically happened to Jesus on the cross, they were witnesses of that. So that kind of made them the best witnesses to see him. Joseph of Arimathea comes forward to claim the body, and he puts him in his own tomb, a tomb that was hewn out of the rock. It says, so they were there with him as well. You read the scripture, you'll find that. So what better witnesses could you have than those who saw him die on the cross, those who saw him put in the tomb? They come, and now he's gone. There's some pretty good eyewitnesses right there. They saw the whole thing. And they had another way we might look at it too, is that God blessed them in allowing them to be the very first ones to know that Jesus had risen from the dead. There were many eyewitnesses, not just these women, But there were many eyewitnesses to the resurrected Jesus. Because we went on to read that after they see the empty tomb, they also see Jesus. They have a brief encounter with Jesus. And then he instructs them to all go to Galilee, and they will see him there. Now, in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, and verse 3, "For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and was seen by Cephas, then by the 12. After that it was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep." And so what is the Scripture attesting to? That 500 people at one time saw Jesus Christ alive. They're eyewitnesses to the fact that Jesus rose from the dead. So it's not just a fable. It's not just a story. The Bible actually gives us witnesses that saw him alive after the crucifixion. And in Acts, the first chapter, they watch him as he ascends into heaven. Acts 1, verse 9. "And how many were there? How many were there in the upper room when the Holy Spirit comes upon them?" It was 120, right? So here's another 120. It may not be the first time that they saw Jesus in his resurrected body. But in Acts 1, verse 9, it says, "Now when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, 'Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, whom was taken up from you into heaven, will so come in like manner as you saw him go.'" So here there are 120 people, it says a little later on in the chapter, who were waiting for the blessing for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So there was 120 people who not only saw him alive, but also saw him go up into heaven. So there were many, many eyewitnesses of the resurrected Jesus. In Hebrews, the 7th chapter, this is so critical and so important to our faith that Jesus rose from the dead. Because he died for our sins, but if he couldn't conquer sin, he wouldn't have risen from the dead. But he did conquer sin. He paid the debt of sin on the cross, and he proved that when he rose from the dead. It's so central. We must believe. We must understand that Jesus isn't just a prophet or a man. Jesus is the Son of God, the Lamb of God, the sacrifice that was needed for sin. In Hebrews, the 7th chapter, verse 24, we read, "But he, because he continues forever," it's talking about Jesus and him being a priest, "but he, because he continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. Therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them." So Jesus, that's a good thing for us that Jesus rose from the dead. He is the one that intercedes for us. He is our high priest. There would be no ability for us to approach God if it were not through Jesus Christ. He's a priest over the house of God, a high priest, as the book of Hebrews points out in other scriptures. But he's alive and he always lives to make intercession for us. Thank God. You know, Jesus started his church while he was on this earth. And he wants us to reflect the power of Christ in our lives. If Jesus is alive, then certainly his churches should be alive. He wants his church to be alive. He wants each and every one of us to be living a spiritual life that reflects Jesus Christ. He is alive, not only making intercession for us in heaven, but he said in Matthew 28:20, "And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." He's here. He's among us. We should feel his presence, and we should be motivated by his power in our hearts and lives. Are we really feeling our relationship with Christ? Are we really excited about doing the work of God through his church? In Acts the 8th chapter, he told the disciples, "You shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you." Now, he also told the church that he wouldn't leave them orphans, he would come to them. So Jesus returned to his church on the day of Pentecost, via the Holy Spirit. So we have the Holy Spirit among us. We have the Holy Spirit to lead us, to guide us, to teach us. He's the great teacher, right? He came back to empower his church. In fact, he told them, "Don't leave. Don't leave. Don't start doing the work that I have for you to do. Don't be going and testifying yet. Wait till you are endued with power from on high." You know, we as the Lord's church have a special relationship with Jesus. We have a special relationship with the Holy Spirit, and it should be empowering us as members of this church to really live for Christ and be a testimony and a witness of Jesus Christ, that he is alive. And it should be reflected in the way that we live and the way that we act and the things that we say. We as individual church members of this body, the body of Christ, we are to be alive in the power of Christ. He's alive, and we should be alive. Don't come to church acting all deadhead, you know? I barely made it. You know? I was having a discussion with myself before church. Should I go or should I stay? You know? It shouldn't be that way, right? It shouldn't be that way. We should be anxious to get to church. We should be excited to be in church. I mean, how much time with Jesus is really too much time with Jesus? You better think about that, because when heaven comes, I think you're going to be getting a lot of Jesus. It should stimulate us. It should excite us. We should be alive, just like our Savior is alive. In John, the 10th chapter, verse 10, it says, "The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." The best life that you can live is the life that you live for Christ. We can do a lot of things in life. We might attain great wealth. We might attain great fame. We might be super intelligent. Maybe we understand things, and we could be world renowned. But you know what? All the things of this world, all the things of this life are going to disappear. But only the things we do for Christ are going to last. Serving the Lord is the abundant life, because we have Christ, who is alive, to work in our hearts and our lives, to motivate us, to empower us. Let's look at Galatians 2:17. "But if While we ask to be justified by Christ, we ourselves are also found sinners. Is Christ therefore a minister of sin? Certainly not. For if I build again those things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For through the law died to the law that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Christ lives in me. You know, Christ can't live in you unless he's alive. And we know he is. He's alive. And the power and the grace and the love and all the things that of Christ that are manifested to the world, even especially when we can have divine love, which exceeds the love that man can come up with. Scripture says that some would even dare to die for a good man. You know, the president has bodyguards, pretty sure. And they might be willing to, probably their job, to step between the president and someone who might be intending harm on him. They might be required, and they would have to be that kind of person, that mindset, to be willing to be shot to protect the president. That's pretty admirable. Especially now, right? Moving on. That's an admirable thing. But God's love goes beyond. It goes beyond man's love and man's capability to love. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And that world, every single one, were the enemies of God. Think, is it hard to do nice things for those you love? Yeah, sometimes it is. But what about doing nice things for those who hate you? That's hard. That's divine. And when we live out the qualities of our Lord and Savior, when we love like he loved, when we are obedient as he was obedient, when we live these things out in our lives, we are showing the world that Jesus lives. So many people need to know the gospel message. They need to believe the word of God. Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus died for our sins, and Jesus rose the third day, and that sealed the deal. Because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, Jesus can make us alive. We're all born sinners. You know, I know those little babies look so sweet and innocent, and they are. In human terms, but in spiritual terms, they're alienated from God. They're already by nature a sinner. We're all born. You know, you don't have to teach your kids to sin, right? You don't have to teach your kids how to misbehave. The idea that man is basically good, it's not true. It's not true. We're basically bad, is what the scripture teaches. That we've fallen, we're in sin. And we need a Savior. God didn't send his Son into the world to die for the world on the cross, raise him from the dead for nothing. There's a reason. If we could save ourselves, he wouldn't have had to gone through all that. But we're born into this world sinners with a sin nature. But, as I said, he is alive to give you salvation. He's alive to guide you in your life, to be with you in your life, to be manifested in our lives. He's come that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. You know, as I said before, there are so many things that we can involve ourselves in. But living for Christ is the best life that we can have. You might think you find fulfillment in some way in things you do, but serving the Lord, giving your life for the Lord, is really having life more abundantly. Romans 5th chapter in verse 12 says, "Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned." We're all sinners. And we're all condemned to death. Ephesians the 2nd chapter verses 1 through 5 says, "And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all had once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, just as others." So, lays it out pretty good, doesn't it? We're sinners. We're dead in trespasses and sins. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Made us alive together with Christ. Christ is alive. And because he's alive, you can be made alive. You're dead in trespasses and sins, but you can be made alive by the power of the Holy Spirit, by putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior. There's coming a day when all will be judged. Revelation 20. Starting in verse 11. "Then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. There was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which are written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and hell, Hades, delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Has your name been written in the book of life? Do you have life from a Savior who lives to make intercession for you, for your sins? He died for our sins, but he also rose from the dead for our sins. There would be no forgiveness of sins if Jesus had not risen from the dead, but praise God, he rose from the dead. Praise God, he was willing to go to that cross and be that perfect sacrifice. The only sacrifice that God would accept was the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And we have a reason to believe in him. I'm not trusting in somebody who came to this earth, taught rules, taught disciplines, and then died. I'm serving a living Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's stand. We'll have a verse of the invitational song.